I'd like for us to start this session. I'm going to dwell and talk about a little bit and give you some information on self-esteem. Genesis 1:26 says, "And God created us in His own image." So many times we don't believe that. Those of you that might have unspoken prayers today, I don't know your heart. God knows your heart, and that's what He looks on. He doesn't look at this outside. He looks at your heart. How many of you have unspoken prayers at this time? I want us to do something. I believe you are. I'm a toucher. I want you just to touch the people on the side of you, take their hand. I'm going to lead us in prayer. How grateful we are, oh God, for this opportunity to be together in sisters in Christ. Oh God, as we learned as children, is to create in me, oh God, a clean heart. And God, I ask that you give us clean hearts today. Hearts that we can reach out and touch and enjoy and love and care and to share. And God, that what we say and do will glorify your name. Thank you, God, for this opportunity, and help us to go away from this session feeling that we are made in your own image, that you gave us talents and abilities, and we need to use them for you. Help us to see this, God. Clear our hearts and clear our minds. We ask these things in your name. Amen. The two greatest problems with women today, as I said earlier, is the problem of self-esteem and fatigue. I couldn't help but see this. Someone told me that their daughter is here today, and she has 5 children. She had to get up and get to school or something. So, you know, they need a purple heart, anybody that will do that. But I couldn't help but think about this, and maybe this is dedicated to her. It said, "God put me on earth to accomplish a certain number of things, and right now I'm so far behind I'll never die." Y'all ever feel that way? Just feel like I just don't believe that I'm going to ever get to, or maybe you feel this way. I've been beaten, I've been kicked, I've been lied to, I've been cussed at and swindled and taken advantage of and laughed at, and the only reason I hang around here is to see what happens next. You know, I don't know if y'all have these little things, and this afternoon my session's going to be how to have a good attitude and how to stay positive, but I believe in angels. And I have these little flip things all over my house that everywhere you sit or stand, there's something that you can read. And this one was yesterday's at home. It says, "The angel fetched Peter out of prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel." We need to, one of the things that we can do to feel good about who we are and what we do is to cultivate a good prayer life. You know, I tell things with stories. Of course, you know, Jesus told stories. They're called parables in the Bibles. In the Bible, we call them just stories. This happened about 3 years ago, 4 years, well, 3 years ago. Brian was 15. I have always encouraged my children to please take speech. I never took speech in college because I was too shy, and I'd break out in these red splotches all over me. And so I've always encouraged my children to take, but they never would. And December 3 years ago, Brian came in one day, and he said, "Mama said I want to enter a speech contest this Saturday, and I just wondered if you'd let me." And I wanted to say, "You little twit, what do you mean enter a speech? You know, why you want to do that?" I said, "What do you mean, son, enter a speech contest?" He said, "Mother, the teacher said she thought I'd be good and said, I just wonder if you'd let me." I don't know why they put blue lining on this, y'all. Isn't that tacky? But I'm hot, so I got a green dot, too. Y'all see my dot? I'll tell you what that is in a minute. But anyway, I said, "Well, Brian, what are you going to talk about, honey?" He said, "I don't know." I said, "Well, have you ever thought about taking speech? Or how about just joining a speech club? Wouldn't that help?" "Well, Mama said, the teacher said she thought Chad Smith and I could do it. And Mama, we won't embarrass you." And I said, "No, Brian, you cannot do that." But you know how kids are. Please, Mama, let me do it. Please, Mama, you know how to do it. So finally about Thursday, I said, "You know, it might do him good to fail." Now, I didn't tell him this. I just said to myself. And he's a big old 6'3 football player, you know, think he's just got the world. And I thought, you know, it'll do him good. He just needs to be whittled down to size. So I think I'll let him. So Thursday night, I said, "Yes, Brian, I decided to let you go." He said, "Okay, good, Mama." Now, I waited for Brian to say, "Mother, would you tell me what to do with my hands, or where do I stand, or how long should I speak, or give me some..." No, not a word. Not one word. The only thing he asked me is if I would sign his medical release in case the bus had it in a wreck. I guess we're good for something. Well, that morning came, and I was really antsy about it. I thought, oh, my goodness, you know, I'm worried about him all day. And my children and I got up that morning and went shopping. I have a black belt in shopping. I don't know if y'all understand that or not, but I love to shop. So all day I worried about him, and I psychologically prepared myself thinking, what am I going to tell Brian? How can I encourage him when he comes back home tonight that, you know, he has made a, you know, embarrassed himself and all this? Well, we got home about 6 o'clock. Now, I go to bed after news, y'all, the 6 o'clock news. I don't know about y'all, but I was getting ready to go to bed about 7 o'clock. The phone rang. I said, it's Brian. So I had prepared myself all day what I was going to do to encourage my son, to tell him if he had just come and asked me, if he had just let me practice with him, if he had just asked Uncle Zig, there's a lot of people that would have helped him if he had just asked. But no, he didn't ask. He thought I could do it on his own, so I was prepared for him. He said, Mama, I said, son, come on home. I want to talk to you. He said, no, Mama. Said, I want to stay over here. I said, no, son, I don't want you over there. I want you over here. It's Saturday night. You've been gone all day long. You're tired. We have to go to church tomorrow. Come on home. Brian said, no, Mama, I want to stay over here and celebrate. I said, what do you mean celebrate? He said, Mama, we won first place out of 19 schools. Have you ever wanted to just pinch their heads off? I said, you did what? He said, yeah, Ma, we won first place. I said, what'd y'all do? And I still don't know. He's won 2 trophies. I have no idea what he does, but he has a natural ability, all right? He won't tell me what he does, so I have no idea what he does. But evidently, God gives him has given him a talent like he has his mama. Because mine was not learned. It was learned, but, I mean, it wasn't something I just have always felt comfortable doing. But he has. Brian is a natural for it. Well, I said, now, Brian, come on home. No, Mama, I want to stay over and spend the night with Chad. I said, we're going to get a movie and watch it and order pizza. I said, now, Brian, it's Christmas. There's a lot of people out here looking at lights. I would appreciate you coming on home, son. You know I don't want you out on the streets. Mama, I promise you I'll be home at 8 in the morning because we have a rule that Sunday morning we go to church. It's not a question of whether we do or don't. We do. And you be home at 8 o'clock. Yes, ma'am. So I went on to bed. I took all my makeup, you know, rolled my hair in those pink rollers and went to bed. And you know, when you first go to sleep, how everything goes dead. I mean, everything goes out. It's like your battery's dead. You just, bam. Well, it was about 10:30 and I heard something. I thought, it's the phone. Well, I answered all the phones. It wasn't the phone. I thought, it was an alarm clock. It wasn't an alarm clock. I thought, what is ringing? The fire alarm. No, it wasn't the fire alarm. It's a doorbell. My house has the 4 bedrooms on this end, so mine's at the back. So I got up and put on that old house coat, and I went to the front door. And you know, you can just barely walk when you just wake up like that. And so I looked out the people and thought I would see Brian. I thought Brian will be out there. Well, it wasn't Brian. There's a policeman standing there. And I opened the door, and I said, yes, sir. He said, Mrs. McCullough. I said, yes, sir. He said, do you have a son? I said, yes, I do. He said, is his name Brian? I said, yes, sir. Is he 6'3"? Yes, sir. Does he wear glasses? Yes, sir. Does he have a jacket that has you know, patches all up? Yes, sir. He said, Mrs. McCullough, I have a warrant for his arrest. I said, you have what? He said, I have a warrant for his arrest. I've come to arrest him. I said, what has he done? He said, he has been positively identified as vandalizing Christmas lights 2 blocks up the street. Now, my house is in the older part of Richardson, Texas, which is North Dallas. My house is older. 3-6 houses down, there's a street, and then it starts the big part of Dallas. My house is 25 years old. There's the new part. And I said, who said he did it? He said, I can't tell you that. But Ms. McCullough, he's been falsely identified. I have a warrant for his arrest, and I've come to take him to jail. And I said, you don't have to prosecute, because if he did it, I'm going to have to kill him. Do y'all understand what I'm saying when I say that to a child? Now, I had no reason to believe that Brian did it. But he wasn't there. He was away. I did not know. I did not have my eyes on him. So he said, Ms. McCullough, I said, well, I'll tell you what. You're not going to take my boy without positively identifying him. Whoever said he did it, if he did it, then that's one thing. But if he didn't, there's something else. And I'm the mama, and we're going to go get Brian. I know where he is. And we're going to go over there, and that man's going to tell me this is my son did it. So he said, well, can I use your phone? Are you going to dress? I said, absolutely. So he went in my kitchen, and I heard him say, Chief, we found Brian McCullough, and we're bringing him in. At that moment, you know how the Satan uses all this? My mind was filled with, everybody in Dallas is going to know about it. My picture's going to be on the front of the Dallas Morning News. Motivational speaker's son indicted on charges, and I knew they'd even have our picture. I thought the one time I'd make the front page of the Dallas Morning News is going to be now. So like every woman, as I left, I thought, what should I wear? You know, that's the first. If they're going to put your picture on the paper, you need to know what you're going to wear. So black always makes you look thinner, and supposed to anyway, so I put on black. Got in the back of that car, and there was my son's name, Brian McCullough. We went around to this where Brian was. We picked him up. I said, Brian, where have you been? He said, Mama, I've been asleep. I said, Brian, you have been positively identified, son, as vandalizing Christmas lights. He said, Mama, I've never been anywhere. I've been right here. Now, what you done? Would you believe your son? Yes, I think you would. I said, well, son, we got problems. They say that you have done. He said, Mama, I didn't do it. I said, well, we're fixing to go find out. Are you sure you're not lying to me? I'm positive, Mama. Four of us got in the back of that police car. Chad Smith's father was with him, and we went over there, and we got out of that car, and I was the first one up the walk. I mean, it didn't take me about three steps to get up to the top of that door, and I rang that doorbell. I thought, I'm going to get this over with. The man came to the door, and Mr. Eaton, and I said, Mr. Eaton, I'm Mamie McCullough. This is Mr. Policeman, and this is Mr. Smith. And Mr. Eaton, I want to know if these are the two boys that vandalized your Christmas lights. And he looked at my son, and he looked at Chad, and he looked back at me, and he said, Ms. McCullough, I'm sorry, but I've never seen these boys. I said, what do you mean you've not seen them? Their name is on that piece of paper, and you describe my son perfectly. He said, Ms. McCullough, they've been falsely identified. I've never seen these two boys before. My boy was in bed asleep when somebody accused him of something that he had nothing to do with. He was cleared. It wasn't fair. It wasn't right, but he was cleared. Several things. It took us all night to figure out what happened. And we prayed, we thanked God, and we'd cry a while, and because it scared us. It scared all of us. My son could have been taken to jail. You know, a lot of things could have happened. First of all, I'm glad that my son had a parent to take up for him. Been a lot of times in my life, I've never had anybody to take up for me. And I'm going to encourage you to take up for those people that you love. Number two, as I told my children, yes, it was wrong that you were identified. Because see, what happened is Mr. Eaton's son had a vendetta against Brian. Brian had been playing basketball at a church two nights before. Brian loves to dunk the basketball. He dunked the basketball. He hit this young man on the head. And this man said, I'm going to get you back, Brian. It's the last thing he ever did. And he told his daddy. He's the one that told his daddy what Brian looked like. Brian was never anywhere around. It couldn't have been him, but he was identified. So it was a vendetta, but he was cleared. But you know what I told my kids finally? I said, you know, all this is bad, and I wished it hadn't happened. But see, it's not what happens to you. It's what you make out of what happens to you. As I said, how many people go through life with a mistaken identity? Some of you looking at me right now have never decided what God has given you in talents and ability. And I know, I'm one of them. For years and years, till I was in my 30s, I thought I was a zero. Now, it wasn't because of my sister Martha. It wasn't because of her. It was because of things that had happened to me when I was a child. And I want to tell you something, folks. I was one of those poor little old Darlington kids. People ask me often sometimes, I often ask me, Ms. McCullough, are you rich? We know you write books and make speeches. And I say, yes, I'm rich. Now, let me tell you why I'm rich. Is that when my daddy died, my mama bought a house for $400. My house had never had a coat of paint on it, never had screen windows. And I thought when I was a little girl, if I ever had a house with screen windows and window panes, I'd be rich. Now, my house in Dallas, Texas, done it, Donna, Mary, y'all been there, has screen windows and window panes, so I know I must be rich. You see, I grew up thinking that nobody was as poor as we are, but let me tell you, that wasn't it. It wasn't the money. It was how I felt about myself. Because we were those poor little old Darlingtons, and some people treated us that way. Now, I want to tell you why I'm here today is because for so many years, I didn't feel like that I had any special talent and ability. I hope someday that I can have these little labels printed. You know, in the dresses, y'all have a dress, your dress has a label in it. Most of mine are cut in two because, you know, I buy them on sale, but I buy everything on sale I can get. I don't know if y'all are like that or not, but anyway, it has a label. This one is Crescione. I looked at it this morning. Now, everything, whether it has a needless markup tag or whatever, there's always a tag in your dresses. Did you know you have a label on you and it ought to be stamped right here? I wish I had some little labels to put up there. It ought to be said, made by God. Your label is made by God. That's what that stands for. Sometime during this next 2 days, I carry this big old pen around with me. I can't lose this one. I want to put a dot on you. I overdo everything, but I won't do it on you. I just put you a little like that. But that means that you have that only dot in the whole world. You're the only one with that talent and ability. Remember, you're what? Thumbbody. You're a thumbbody. Don't forget that. Now, why do we feel poorly about ourselves? There are reasons why. It's not something that just we get up one day and say, hey, I don't feel good about myself. I'm not very smart. All of us have messed up, I guess. How many of you have never messed up? Let me see your hands. We're going to bronze you real quick. But we've all messed up, and no one's messed up any more than I'm sure. I want to read something to you, because a lot of times people use these excuses for not being all that God wants you to be. Be all that God wants you to be. The name of this is sick. I cannot go to school today, said little Peggy Ann McKay. I have the measles and the mumps, a Nasher gash, and purple bumps. My mouth is wet, my throat is dry, I'm going blind in my right eye. My tonsils are as big as rocks, I've counted 16 chicken pox, and there's 17, and don't you think my face looks green? My leg is cut, my eyes are blue, it might be enzymatic flu. I cough and sneeze and gasp and choke, I'm sure that my left leg is broke. My hip hurts when I move my chin, my belly button's caving in, that's my favorite. My back is hurt, my ankle sprained, my appendix pains each time it rains. My nose is cold, my toes are numb, I have a sliver in my thumb. My neck is stiff, my spine is weak, I hardly whisper when I speak. My tongue is filling up my mouth, I think my hair is falling out. My elbow's bent, my spine ain't straight, my temperature is 108. My brain is shrunk, I cannot hear, there is a hole inside my ear. I have a hangnail in my heart, is what? What's that you say? You say today is Saturday. Well, goodbye, I'm going out to play. How many times do we use excuses like that to not to be all that we can be? The people that put this on, the people with the daisies or the brown-eyed Susans or sunflowers on their hats, I'm sure were given jobs that they thought, I cannot do that. The first thing we always think about is, I cannot do that. But do you believe Philippians 4:13, which says, I can do all things who? Through Christ who strengthens me. And see, it's our availability that's more important. And I didn't believe that for many, many years. Why do we have a poor self-image? And because of time, I'm just going to have to almost read these. And I remember the day that I started believing what I was preaching. It's okay to tell the truth in advance, okay? Sometimes we have to do it. That's why people have some time about speaking to people. They say, I don't feel like it. Feelings have nothing to do with it. I'll fake it till you make it. Now, there are several reasons, and these are not in particular order. But these are in my second tape, in my three-tape series out there for Christian women, I talk about this in depth. Because there are reasons why we as women don't feel good about ourselves. So I'm just going to hit the high spots on this because of time. Is that we live in a negative society. Do y'all believe that? Watch the news. What makes the front page of the papers? The negative part. If that's all you do and never read the Bible or come to church or come to things positive, of course you all are here, so you know, but it's negative. Our world is negative. Our appearance and intelligence has been repeatedly ridiculed. Don't ever, ever ridicule people's appearance. And so many times people do that. You should ridicule the action, but not the person. And you know what? I'm 5'9" and a half. I actually could not be any shorter or any taller. This is it. I have changed my width a bunch of times, but I am this tall. There's some things that you have to understand as a fact. But be careful. And I will tell you something. The worst thing we ever do is tell somebody they're getting chubby. I wish the men were here. Because, you know, I bathe myself every day. Somebody didn't have to say, honey, you're getting kind of chubby around here. I know. I look at it every day. I mean, or whatever it is. It could be something else. But there's some people that are dying to tell you. How many of you know somebody that every time you see them, they're just dying to tell you the bad news? That is what we call garbage dump thinkers. Stay away from those people if you can. Now, don't get a divorce. I don't mean that. Just run right here. Why do we feel badly about ourselves? Our poor self-esteem is, and we confuse failure in a project with failure in life. In this book, one of my favorite vitamins is, failure is an event, not a person. Failure is an event, not a person. We all fail. Another one is, comparing our worst feature to someone else's best. Quit comparing yourself to anyone. Setting unrealistic standards of perfection. I would love to have a spotless house, but give me a break. Give me a break. They have canceled my subscription to Good Housekeeping. I mean, it's that bad. I want to tell you something, folks. You got to decide your priorities, too. Did y'all hear the story about the 88-year-old lady that was standing, come to Dallas to meet her daughter for Mother's Day? And the daughter got held up in the traffic. So she was late picking up her mother. Her mother got off the plane, retrieved her luggage, and went and stood on the side of the, you know, waiting for her daughter. The daughter came wheeling up late, and there stood her mother. The wind was blowing, and the lady was standing there, her mother, 88 years old, with both hands on her hat. The wind was blowing, and her dress was just, you know, going everywhere, and the daughter was just embarrassed. She jumped out, and she ran to her mother. Mother, what is wrong with you? Don't you, what is your priority? Said, here's the wind blowing. You're showing the world everything, and you have it, and yet you're holding on to that hat. The mother continued holding on to her hat, and she said, well, honey, what I'm showing the world is 88 years old, but this hat is new. It's priorities, ladies. It's priorities. You got to decide, if is it people or is it dust? Is it people or is it a perfect everything? Is it people or is it uptight? You got to make that decision. You can't have, listen, you can have anything you want, but not everything you want. Another one is believing we have no chance to succeed because of our past. Shake that loose. Apostle Paul says, when you put your hand to the plow, don't look back. How many times in my life I've looked back and said, look how I messed up. Look how I messed up. And the Bible says, forgive 70 times 7. That's a lot. And you know what I read this morning when I was reading Proverbs? It said that we will fall 7 times, but the saints will fall 7 times and get right back up. But the others will fall into mischief and stay there. You see, we make mistakes. And God forgives everything except if we reject Him. So whatever you do, maybe one of the things you're going to do this weekend while you're here is to forget and forgive yourself. As Jay Strack says, shake off the dust. Shake it off. We've all made mistakes. But don't quit looking back. So many people do that. Another reason we have poor self-image is we think that we came from monkeys. Now, some of my family does swing from trees. I know they did, but it was from a rope. You understand that? I think the most horrendous crime that we have in our society today, and this is which I'm writing my fourth book. I've been writing this book for 12 years. Hopefully I'm going to have it. I'm going to do it. This is hard. I get physically sick when I write it. January of last year, I wrote for a whole month and I was physically sick. I had to pull off of it. But this is a book I think that will impact more people than all my other books put together. The first book I just finished was on parenting. It's not out yet, but I finished it. But this book is going to be called, I have three titles for it. Let me see what y'all think about this. I'm either going to call it, I Wished I Had Someone to Take Up for Me, or I'm Not Waving, I'm Drowning. Or, if you're going to bury the hatchet, don't leave the handle sticking out. So, it's a book about abuses. There's 7 major abuses in life. I think this is another thing that I have some authority on is child abuse. I think the most horrendous crime we have in our society today is child abuse. Did you know up to 70% of the people could in this room be physically abused? Abused as children. Some of you are being abused now. There's verbal abuse. There's emotional abuse. Those two, it's hard to measure. How about physical abuse and sexual abuse? And, of course, the verbal neglect. Neglect is one of the biggest abuses. I don't neglect my children. I'm not there looking at them today, but I don't neglect my children. I talk to them. I talk to them at least once a day, sometimes twice. I fly back to Dallas sometime across the country to go home and sleep at home in my bed so I can see my children at night when they go to bed and when they get up in the morning. I do not neglect my children. And they know why I work. I work for the glamour part of life. Groceries. The light bill. College tuition. Do y'all work for that reason? Any of y'all work for those reasons? I imagine you do. Now, I'm a victim of child abuse, and that's why I know about self-esteem. But see, when you're told when you're 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, and I want to tell you something, my family did not know I was abused. It was not anybody in my family. Listen to me, ladies. Please, please, please believe children, because children don't lie. Children will tell you the truth if you'll listen to them. And when I was a little girl, I never had anybody that I could say, this is happening to me, because I thought nobody would believe me. This is what I'm writing about. I'm also writing about job abuse and spiritual abuse. That's two things that I haven't seen a lot written about. But I want to tell you that you can feel good about yourself regardless. But I thought it was my fault. See, when you're told as children that it's your fault, something's wrong with you, don't you tell it. Something will happen to somebody in your family. I don't know. Except by the grace of God, I'm so glad that my little old mama that could not read nor write knew that was sending us to church and taking us to church. And she couldn't read the Bible to us. She lived it. And that it's by the grace of God that I didn't get into drugs, into the sex, into the bad things in life. I have to say, folks, the only way you could ever raise children, I don't know how anybody does it without the church and the Lord. I just don't see how they did it. The night my husband died, I said, Lord, I don't even know how to be a mama. Now I've got to be a mama and a daddy. But you know what? God didn't call me to be a daddy. He just called me to be a mama. And it's hard sometimes when you think about, am I being right? But there's a lot of things worse. Now, we have a lot of dysfunctional families. Of course, that causes us to have a poor self-esteem. Now, there's some manifestations of a poor self-esteem. Improper reaction to laughter. I think everybody ought to laugh. It's the internal jogging that we all need. You need to lighten up sometimes. Another one is if you improper reaction to criticism. We all need to be critiqued at some point in time. An uncomfortable feeling when alone. There is not one woman alive that has children that ever has not enjoyed being alone. Have you ever felt like that you'd give $500 for 5 minutes of peace and quiet without them pulling on you or asking you something? Mama, 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 mama. I just get so tired of it. In classroom one time, these kids had said Ms. McCullough all day long. It's sixth period. I was so tired of it. I said, listen, please do not say Ms. McCullough again. I have had it. I have had it. This is eighth graders. One little boy in the back said, what's your first name? Kids are that way, don't they? They just don't know what it's doing to you. See, God gave us that feeling of trying to accomplish. We want to fix everything and help everybody. And folks, I tell you, it's sometimes our strongest trait is it can become our weakness. Another one is a breakdown in decency. I want to tell you something. I think we ought to tell these kids that they can regain their integrity. Whatever's happened in your life, say, hey, I'm not going to do that again and start over. I think that's what God's Word says, that we can start over. Another one is manifestations lack of genuine friends. Another one is senseless and erratic actions. The word guilt. Let me tell you something, folks, and I wish I had a board, but I don't. In my second book on Get It Together, I don't know if y'all can see this or not. Let me see. Okay, can y'all halfway see that? It's a circle. I call this my hurt circle. Now, I am a simple psychologist, all right? We get hurt. We get hurt. We hurt, we hate. We get help and we heal. Now, I know hate's not a good word, but it doesn't start with anger. I mean, anger doesn't start with H. So, but this hate means anger, okay? We get hurt. I still hurt from my child abuse, but not from me anymore. I hurt when I read in the paper every day where a child is found dead or been entombed for 16 days. Do I get angry? Yes, I get angry because people are not doing anything. People are not believing other people. Yes, there's sometimes that you as adults, people don't believe. I believe what people tell me. I have prayer request sheets. They're green. I don't know where they are, Donna. We need to find out. I think they're at my table back there. Pick one of those up. And I will pray for you for 7 days. I cannot tell you how many people, and nobody sees them but me. And I pray for you by name because there's so many people that have hurts in their lives that they cannot tell anybody else. Sometimes they say, well, they'll tell it or they'll do something because it's hard sometimes to tell the people that we love the most or that we're around. But how do we get help? We get help by coming to places like this, reading the Bible, prayer, books. Yes, Christian psychologists. There's a lot of things you can get help. And then we start to heal. That's the heel thing. You see, I have a scar on my hand that is where I hurt it working in the yard. I still have the scar, but it doesn't hurt anymore. I still remember these things. You don't forgive and forget. Somebody said that that's not true. All right. You're going to forgive. And let me tell you what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is when you think about the people that have wronged you that you wish them well. Doesn't have anything to do with forgetting. That's why we get hung up sometimes on these things. It's because we say, well, I can't forget it. No, you're not going to forget it. Now, there's some steps to a healthy self-esteem. There's some things that you must do. Things that you can do on a daily basis to make you feel better about who you are. Now, be better today than you were yesterday. That's my philosophy. Be better. Doesn't matter about being the best at anything. Just be better today than you were yesterday. First of all, take an inventory. If you want to feel good about yourself, take an inventory. If you feel badly about yourself, go down here to an old folks home or a residence home or a nursing home and walk through there. People on machines, people can't walk, people can't move their head, people that are crippled with arthritis. I want to tell you something, folks. Or go into a home for the retarded. I have a little nephew that has never spoken a word, took meningitis when he was 3 months old in Africa. His family were missionaries, has never said one word. I go to see little Claude. He doesn't even know his parents. He's crippled. But I want to tell you something, folks. It makes me so proud that when I come out of it, I don't have to fuss about my arthritis so much. I want to tell you something. Look at what you have. You're far from bankrupt. So one other thing I think I would encourage you to do is get up, make up, dress up, and go up. Stick it on, paste it on, glue it on, push it out, pull it in. Whatever you need to do to feel good about yourself, you ought to do it, all right? Read stories about people that have made it. Read stories about people who've made it. If you want to be positive, I want you to take some words out of your vocabulary. The first word is can't. No one has ever been able to tell me what an I can't looks like. No one's ever told me what the shape, the size, and the color of it is. Do y'all know what an I can't is? Well, I've never seen one. But I always ask if you know. Well, my students, I told them, I said, what does an I can't look like? And they couldn't tell me. So I went home that night and cut out pictures of eyes. Now, when you take a picture of an eye and you put it on a tin can, what do you have? I can. This is a label. This says I can on it. It says I can if I think I can. This is my philosophy about my children, with my children at home, about I can't. When you say I can, it either means I won't or I don't know how. If you don't know how, let me teach you. And if you won't, let me spank you. I think everybody ought to have a choice, don't you? And I give them a choice. So this says I can be what I want to be. That's one of the ways we can stay positive, too. But take the word can't, say I'll try. The word's diet. Who cares what size you are? I think we all talk about good nutrition and health. I don't think you're just going to change. Everything changes. Gravity takes over or something. But it doesn't matter your size. Quit beating yourself up about it is what I'm saying. I don't pick people by their size. I have people that are my good friends that are like that. I mean, don't look like they're even a size to fluffy. Who cares what size you are? That's my sister that's fluffy. She said she thought her bones were size 14. So, you know, I think that now. Sick and tired. Sick and tired is not one word. It's two. Sometimes people think it is. You see, we're not sick and we're not tired. We're just unmotivated oftentimes. And we have to do things. Get rid of grudges. If you want to feel good about yourself, get rid of grudges. I believe you ought to get it fixed, too. If something bothers you, get it fixed. If you don't like the color of your hair, you know, you can have it different. Mine's different every week. But not intentionally. It just happens that way. It fades and I redo it and, you know, all this stuff. But it doesn't matter. Whatever you can do to make you feel good about yourself. You wouldn't wear the makeup I wear. That's fine. But you're probably glad I didn't come like I woke up this morning. These people I'm staying with, they said, boy, 2 hours of makeup will do wonders for a person. I do not want to look natural ever again in my life. Have y'all ever had a makeover? I had one at Neiman's in Dallas, and they had three people working on me for 3 hours. And when I got through, they said, Ms. McCullough, you look so natural. I said, y'all have misunderstood. I do not want to look natural. Put something else on. I want to look artificial. Now, if you want to feel good about yourself, join the Smiling Compliment Club. You don't have to feel like it. Just smile at people and acknowledge them. Everybody needs validating. Everybody. If you want to feel good about yourself, be careful of the people you associate with. Birds of a feather, what? Y'all believe that? I do. Birds of a feather flock together. If you want to feel good about yourself, you know, being positive and building a healthy self-esteem and getting out of depression, all of them have so many of the similar things that you need to do. Be careful of the people that you're around. Be around people that are going to pull you up, not people that are going to push you down. Now, if you're married to somebody, and I'm sorry, or they're in your family, and I have a couple in my family, I cannot be around for very long because I feel like I have been in the garbage dump when I get, you know, they just put that stinking thinking on us all the time. They just always tell you how bad it is and how bad it is. People don't need to know that. They don't need to know that. I'm not saying it's honest. And I'm not a Pollyanna. But we just don't need for people to put us down. Another one is learn to read and read, read, read. I think you ought to read, read, read. Learn some manners. I think this is the decade that manners are going to be in again. I like being a lady. Don't y'all like being a girl? I want to look, act, and smell like a girl. And I like my son opens the door for me, and he says yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. And I like manners. That's just Southern, I guess, and some people may be offended by it, but I like manners. Get in shape. That does not mean you have to be a jogger. I exercise, but I don't like it. I just want y'all to know that. I have never seen a smiling jogger in my life. It is pain. I do it because Dr. Ken Cooper says that because of my heart problems, he said, you have a choice. Well, he gave me a choice. You only exercise the days you eat. But don't have to exercise. Isn't that wonderful? Now, I used to have an exercise program that wasn't very good. I used to fill the bathtub, take a bath, pull the plug, and fight the current. Now, that was my first one. Remember, it's okay to get help. You know, when we're sick, when my eyes hurt, I go to the optometrist. When my feet hurt, I go to podiatrist. When my stomach hurts, I go to my, you know, or gynecologist. And you know, when you have fears and problems, a mental problem, go to a psychiatrist or a psychologist. And you have a spiritual problem, go to your pastor or someone spiritually. You see, I want to encourage you that if it's something that you cannot process, and all of life should be processed, is get help. Remember that. Get help. And it's okay to get help. Several years ago, I had to send my child, Jennifer. Jennifer is my child that I did not expect. I had two in diapers and two in bottles, and I did not expect her that quickly. And she was the one that just my whole life fell apart when she came. And I thought, how can I manage these three children with two in bottles and two in diapers? But, you know, she's the one that writes the poetry, and she's the one that's my baby now that will graduate this year. And what a blessing that child's been. But, you know, there were times that I didn't think I was going to make it. Another one, and she and I had to take that child. At 6 years after her daddy died, I had to take her to a doctor because she cut where she couldn't sleep at night, and I found out it was things she didn't understand about her daddy's death. She thought she was not protected. And I found a Christian psychologist, Minerith and Meyer in Dallas, and I had taken her to Dr. Nicholson. He wrote, "The Hurried Child is the best money I ever spent in my life." And I want to tell you, get help. If there's something, problems you can't process, get help. Learn to pay and accept compliments. When somebody says, "I like your hair, I like your dress," just simply smile at them and say thank you. You don't have to say, "This old thing, I had it last year, you know, I wear it every day," or, "You know, my hair needs cutting." Don't try to make a liar out of people that pay you a compliment. Have y'all ever noticed how people do that? Learn to say no. Ladies, listen to me. Learn to say no. How many of you need to learn that? I have a whole speech on that. I'm not giving it to you here, but I don't have time. Learn some power phrases. Learn to say, "Go for it." Learn to say, "I believe in you." Learn to say, "You can do it." Learn to say, "Thank you." Learn to say, "Please." Learn to say whatever you can say to encourage other people. You see, we only build ourselves when we build others. We only tear down ourselves when we're tearing down others. That's why I tell people, don't ever gossip. I don't know what about you, but I believe Judgment Day is when God's going to line up everybody you'd ever talked about and made you say it to their face. I have made up some stuff. If y'all, I know I have. Or at least added to it, you know. We ought to be careful about what we say. We need to all be careful about what we say. Now, I want to know, with somebody, I want to give this book to somebody. Does anybody, is there a volunteer that would like to have it? Right here, would you come up here? Okay. I'll find out your name. You're going to have to do something for it, okay? I'm going to give it to you, but you're going to have to do something about it. Okay, your name is?
Debbie Boggs.
Debbie Boggs. Debbie, let me give you this book, and I'll autograph it for you when we get through. Where are you from?
Central Oklahoma.
Okay. Is this the first time you've ever heard me?
This is the first time.
First time, all right. Now, let me ask you something. Do you think that I would be a person you could trust?
Yes.
Do you think if I asked you to do something and you could do it, would you do it?
Yes.
You would do it. If I asked you, Debbie, to do a certain thing for me, and if you could do it, you'd do it, right? You would trust me. Mm-hmm. Okay, Debbie, give me a dollar.
Okay, I'll be right back.
Nope. Mm-mm. Now, you do trust me.
Uh-huh.
And if you could do something, if I asked you to do something, and you could do it, you'd do it?
Yeah.
Okay, give me a dollar.
How would you like me to give it to you?
Just a dollar.
Okay, it's down in my purse. When do you want it?
Just got a dollar, y'all, if you need it. What's this?
Oh, okay.
What is that?
It's a dollar.
Well, why didn't you give it to me?
I didn't know it was there.
That's right. You see, if we trust God, and He tells us to do something, He already knows it's there. So you not only got the dollar, you got the book, Debbie. Okay?
Thank you. Appreciate you.
God will never ask us to do something that He does not give us the ability to do it. If God asks you to teach, go back to school to get a degree, play on a soft, it doesn't matter what God asks. He asks you to raise those kids, asks you to try to be pleasant, asks you to whatever He asks you to do, He already has, and it says He'll give you the desires of your heart. Is that a yes? That's yes. So you know what? And I love Jeremiah 33:3. It's God's telephone number. It says, "Call on me, and I will listen and show you great and wondrous things which thou knowest not." Did everybody get one of my newsletters? Did everybody get one of these? If you did not, I want you to get it. This has things in it. I always do this goes out twice a year. If you want to be on my mailing list, or if you buy anything with a check or a credit card, we will give you, you'll be on the automatic list for 2 years. But if you want to be on it and are not, this is things that maybe you don't need, but maybe somebody that you know, you can pass it along. Let me tell you how to use my materials. The first time you use them, you say, "I heard Mamie McCullough, give me credit." The second time you use my materials, you say, "I heard a speaker say one time." And the third time you use them, you say, "As I've always said." That's how you use them. This is always a letter from me. Over here is a partial listing of where I speak. And this little vitamin is worth a whole day to me. Is do not complain about what you permit. If you permit your family to be lazy, you should not complain about it because you have permitted it. Boy, that hit home. I've been complaining about some things, and I thought, if I permit it, then I shouldn't complain about it. Yes, 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 this is a poem that we wrote for this. Over here is more of these little vitamins, and over here is most wins are by small margins. It's about seminars that I have. My materials are only bought from us. You cannot get them in stores or bookstores, and so that's why we have to bring them with us. Over here on the back, we have the three packets of materials. You see them listed over there. We take everything from post-dated checks to cash. If you have references, we take cash. Now, I imagine a lot of you have seen this. Now, I'm going to be around. If you have questions that you want to ask me, and I will be doing some other sessions, but I know there's some wonderful sessions going on. I was regretting the past and fearing the future, and suddenly my Lord was speaking, "My name is I Am." He paused, and I waited. He continued, "When you live in the past with its mistakes and regrets, it's hard. I am not there. My name is I Am. When you live in the future and with its problems and fears, it is hard. I am not there. My name is not I Will Be. When you live in this moment, it is not hard. I am here. My name is I Am." I have the Encourager newsletter. I have my business card. This is my business card, y'all. And it has the poem, "I Believe in You," on it. And then I have some little ICANN labels. So if y'all want to get one of these and take it home with you and copy it, use it. All right? Y'all. And also, if you want a little green dot, I'm going to be around and I'll give you a little dot or big dot or whatever you want across the top. I got me a fresh one this morning. All right? Now, I want to close by teaching you something. When somebody asks you how you are, they don't ever care. Did y'all know that? Have you ever asked somebody how they are and they told you? And you're sorry you asked them? All right? When I say, "How are you?" I want you to respond with, "Super good, but I'll get better." Okay? I know you say, "That's silly." It may be, but you're going to feel better. Okay? I'm going to say, "How are you?" And you're going to say, "Super good, but I'll get better." Okay? How are you? All right, now let's put some motions with it, all right, to end this. When I say, "How are you?" I want y'all to say, "Super good," and jump straight up and say, "But I'll get better," and wiggle around. Now, this is not dancing, okay, because we're in the church, okay, Baptist church at that. So, you know, if we move both of our feet at once, we call it dancing, so you have to be careful. So I'm going to say, "How are you?" And you're going to say, "Super good," and jump straight up and say, "But I'll get better," just wiggle around, okay? How you doing? Super good, but I'll get better. Ooh, I wish we had that on tape. Okay, thank y'all. See you later.